Church. There we go. Look at that. Everyone's lively this morning. I'm just going to open the Bible up here as well to a passage. Keep your page on 2 Corinthians 4. That's where we're going to be focusing on this morning. Stu and I have got the pleasure of doing a pulpit swap today. So if I'm not quite up to your standard of preaching, Stu will be preaching here tonight at 7 o'clock. And you can get your regular fix of stew. I just want to echo the words of what Cam said before about this being a family. And this truly is what family is. You guys are raising me up and allowing me to explore my gifts and talents and developing me into the Christian that I'm to become. So I want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to stand before you and open the Word of God. It's incredible how much peace I have about this, because I am opening the Word of God, and that is what has the power, not me. So thank you. The passage that we've been given this morning, that I found in the lectionary, I had a quick look at the other ones, and I thought, oh, for a first attempt in front of about 100 people, I probably won't tackle those passages. So I was thankful to find 2 Corinthians 4. And I really do hope that we can be encouraged as a family this morning. So I'm just going to pray and then, we'll see how we go. Loving Father, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for the worship that we've had this morning. And Father, we pray that as we open your word, it's another form of worship. And Father, we pray that it is as sweet as incense to you, Lord. We pray that it is your words that are said, not ours, Father, and that we are fully focused on you and for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, before we dive straight into our passage, we're going to zoom out and have a quick look at 2 Corinthians as a whole. And this letter is quite important for the church in Corinth, ancient Corinth of the time, but I actually truly believe that this letter could have been addressed to you and I as a church family. It's one of the many letters that Paul wrote. According to scholars, they believe it was about the fourth letter that he actually wrote to the Corinthians. And in between those letters, there was a few visits that he had to Corinth. It actually was a community, a church that he planted in Corinth that he is writing to. Many of us know Paul from our own personal study. He was a little bit of a Pharisee. But yet his conversion was very miraculous and very amazing for all of us to see that someone who persecuted the Jews so much could flip his whole life around and become one of the most important figures that we have in our scripture today. Paul was also a tent maker, which sounds funny to highlight, but as you've probably picked up from the reading, the tent making idea is quite important for our unpacking of the scripture. This letter has a significant focus on the relationship between suffering and the help of the Holy Spirit. No one really likes to stand up in front of everyone and tell you that you're going to suffer, but here we are. Paul, later in this letter, defends his apostleship as the church in Corinth have heard some charismatic preachers and have turned away from the message that Paul had given them already. They're starting to listen to some more charismatic preachers and following their ways rather than the ways of Jesus. They'd lost sight of what it actually meant to have this faith. And so Paul is encouraging this church in Corinth with this particular passage, but I truly believe that it is just as much of an encouragement for us today as it was back then. He opened 2 Corinthians in prayer for comfort, and that is exactly what I believe I've done, is we've opened in prayer and comfort. So, without further ado, we'll actually look into the scripture. Verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, Peter did a great job of dictating to us Psalm 116, but Paul is actually directly quoting verse 10 of Psalm 116 here, according to my study Bible. And so it's this idea, the psalmist had this hard attitude of being saved from death, and he was so thankful for that to God. And this is the lens that I want us to look at this passage through, because Paul is looking at it through the same light. His thankfulness that God had saved him from the clutches of death is the same. And he's quoting the psalmist through the trials that Paul has faced. This acknowledges that Paul was greatly afflicted also. Paul would have been the first one to tell you that the Christian walk wasn't an easy one. And this letter, we believe, was written around 56 AD, which is about 22 years after his conversion. So his experience of Christianity and the present suffering that went with it was definitely part of his life. He was suffering a lot, especially being a Jew Pharisee who had converted to this religion. So I want us to get the idea of thankfulness as we read this passage. Verse 14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Again, Paul is continuing on with this thankfulness, and he's highlighting that Jesus was raised from the dead. He's brought the gospel into this passage fairly quickly, but he's also mentioning that it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that is going to raise this church in Corinth one day to be presented before the Father. And that is the same power that lives within us. It's the same power that will raise us up one day and have us stand before the throne, which is an incredibly comforting thing to remember. It also wakes me up a bit when I look at my life and I think I can't do something, because actually the same spirit that raises us to the grave lives within us right now. And so we, or dare I say it, we can't really complain about not being able to do something, because the Lord is within us. Paul was being persecuted and prosecuted for preaching the word, and he was probably also being called a hypocrite and slandered, and he was probably having debates with the top people of Judaism at the time. And I kind of picture this setting between Richard Dawkins and Ravi Zacharias today. I kind of picture Paul up against the top Jews of the time in similar debates, trying to proclaim the truth of the gospel. He continues in verse 15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Isn't it crazy that he calls it for their benefit? It's for our benefit as well. The power that has raised Christ from the grave that we have as the Holy Spirit, it's totally undeserved by anything we have, has been given to us to be used as our benefit. And that is what will present us to God. I think I've already touched on that. Paul is writing and telling them that this grace is reaching more and more people, which is actually still the same today. I had a quick Google search, and from the year 2000 to 2013, the Christian population of the world increased by 370 million, which is about a third of a billion people, just over, which is pretty encouraging to hear that the Lord's people are growing day by day. And this, again, all points to the glory of God as there are more people becoming his disciples. So in these first three verses, we see the attitude of Paul, we see the power of God working through Paul, and we see the heart and goal that Paul has because he knows God. And these are thankfulness, the same power of the resurrection, and the glory of God is Paul's goal. And all three of these should be the same for us today. We should be thankful. We should know that we have the same power and be working out of that same power. And we should also be aiming to give glory to God. Paul continues in the spirit of these three points, and he focuses on our power and encouragement from the Lord and how things will be better in the future to come, in the eternity that is to come further on. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now, this is going to sound very funny coming from me, but everyone's getting older, and I'm definitely not the oldest in the room, but that's okay. my body isn't quite as good as it once was either. As many of you know, there was a basketball game played this week on Wednesday night. And after sinking a calm and collected three-point end on the offensive end, I managed to run down the other end of the court and go for a steal and dislocate my shoulder. My shoulder's been reasonably grumpy with me ever since. And, yeah, as people know me, they know that I've had a few troubles with my shoulder. But that's my... that is my struggle to deal with in terms of my outward body wasting away at this current point in time. I'm sure many of you will be experiencing a different kind of body wasting away, but all of us are going through it. Paul's comfort to the Corinthian church is the same that we get from this passage today. Outwardly, you may be wasting away, but inwardly, you should continue to be renewed by constant prayer and reading of the word. This is not only Paul's comfort, but it is his prayer for these people, as this will continue to have us to pursue our way for the kingdom of God. Our outward wasting away is a form of the suffering that we face on earth, but the spirit is eternal and will never, ever waste away. I kind of had this idea of this is kind of our physical health versus our spiritual health. And you know, some of us like to go for a run and keep our physical health up, but it's about keeping our spiritual health in check as well and renewing us day by day. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, I promise you I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. However, we are guaranteed an eternal glory that is greater than anything we will ever experience down here. Our struggle down here is preparing this future glory that surpasses all of our small afflictions. No matter how bad or how good you think you've got it down here, there will be a better day in the kingdom to come. Paul states how our light and temporary our troubles are down here, and he shows us that we ought not to think our troubles are too difficult. Continuing to look at this with this thankfulness idea, we have what makes an amazing truth to be thankful for, that we can deal with anything that comes our way, which is brought up later on in 2 Corinthians. The Lord will never give us anything that we can't handle. He also mentions this eternal glory, and we will be made righteous through the act that Jesus did on the cross. It is by no other means, but we are made righteous through Jesus' death and cleansing of our sin. Moving down to verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is kind of our verse that tells us what to do. This tells us to keep our eyes focused on the things that are unseen, which is quite an abstract concept, because if I tell you to look at something you can't see, you're not quite sure what you're looking at. But if you're not looking at the things that you can see, you will start to see the things that you can't see. Such as our bodies wasting away, worrying about our money, or worrying about the world and its problems, we lose sight of what the Lord truly is doing around us. We, as the Lord's people, are to focus our eyes heavenward, for our eternal glory, which is currently unseen, is there, not here. We also focus on this death of Jesus, which is working through the Holy Spirit to renew us. This is our biggest difference to society as a Christian. And I have to mock the younger generation here a bit. We have come up with these phrases like YOLO and YEET. And I'm not sure if you've heard those. But YOLO stands for you only live once, which is true, but they use it as an excuse to go and do stupid things now. YEET is the more modern form of that, and it just means the same thing. You know, you say it and then you just do whatever you want. But they're focusing on what they can see, those two words. They're not focusing on what is unseen, what is eternal. They give you power now, enjoyment now, but they probably don't help you. They keep your eyes focused on something other than this heavenly eternity that Paul is telling us to keep our eyes on. This heavenly eternity that we keep our eyes on is a complete 180 degree of what the world does. The world tells you that you need to look nice. It tells you that you need to have a nice job. But Paul is telling you, you need to pray. You need to read the word. You need to make sure that inwardly you're being renewed. So, the scene, the world, looks at who we are, what we work, and why do we do it. However, the unseen in the heavenly eternity looks at who we are because of what God is and what God has done. It looks at what works in us and through us. And it asks the question, why wouldn't we work with God? We come now to chapter 5, which I think Paul is continuing this hard attitude of thankfulness, like the psalmist and like us today. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Paul understands that even as our bodies get old and fade away, and eventually they will be destroyed also, the Lord, who is a far better builder than what Paul is, has a better body waiting for us, a better heavenly body waiting for us when we get to glory. Now, this would have sounded quite strange to the church in Corinth, as Paul was a tent maker and he's not really helping his business. He's claiming that his tents, his earthly things, aren't what we need. And for us today, it makes this comparison very obvious. Paul knows a lot about tents, but yet he claims that the Lord's building is far greater than a tent. This comparison still doesn't quite do it justice, because our heavenly body will be far better than a building still. You know, the comparison between a tent and a building, we can kind of understand that, but I think our heavenly body will be completely out of our brains. Now, I want to highlight the word groan that Paul uses here, because as we all like to groan, it sounds like a terrible word. And I always associate it with the word whinge. Why are you whinging? And it instantly assumes this negative connotation of what Paul is talking about. He is groaning, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, which is such a good thing. And he is just so, his groan is in such, there's no other word to describe how much he is longing for this better life to come and his thankfulness that it is coming to get him and this temporary struggle that is nothing to worry about because his eternity is coming for him. Verse 3, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. This expression of talking about the difference between clothed and unclothed is quite vivid for us to understand. If you're clothed, you're fully exposed and everyone can see you for who you are. However, when we are clothed with righteousness, our unholiness gets swallowed up. And nakedness gets swallowed up and it actually becomes non-existent. It's the start of this transforming process. These clothes of righteousness are far more than just a t-shirt to put on over a chest. It starts to change the chest. It starts to change what it is on top of. And therefore, it becomes the righteousness. We, as Christians, should want our mortality to be swallowed up by this eternal life, by this righteousness. Because it is one of the greatest gifts that we receive when we focus on what is coming for us in the days ahead, rather than this earthly tent. Verse 5, which is the last verse in this here. Now the one who has fashioned us all for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing us for what is to come. God has transformed us for this purpose. God is transforming us for this purpose. And God wants us to be focusing on this transformation to our heavenly eternity. So we are more transformed each day. Yet, he doesn't expect us to do it alone. How great is that? He knows that we can't do it on our own. So he has given us the Holy Spirit, which has the same power that rose Christ from the cross, from the grave. And it dwells in our hearts to enable us to continue to be transformed so that when our time in this earthly tent is up, we have a building prepared for us in heaven. We have a mansion waiting for us in eternity with Christ. Now, I want to make a quick few comments and just refocus us on what we've pulled apart in this passage. And I want to just leave that to rest on your hearts this morning. We do not focus on our earthly temporariness, but we focus our time and attention upon the word and prayer. This brings Christ into our everyday and every moment of our lives, which is crucial in living this integrated life that we are all called for. That we, as part of having this Holy Spirit, this is what renews our inner being and transforms us for the benefit of our lives, both now and heavenly. For our earthly tents will fade, but the building the Lord has built for us never will. So be renewed and encouraged in the word and continue to focus on the things of God rather than these earthly momentary afflictions. Remember Paul's three parts to the first three verses we read. He was thankful. He did these things in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was all for the glory to God. We'll just pray. Loving Father, we pray that we can continue to have a thankful heart for you, Lord. A thankful heart that you have done all these things for us and that you continue to do these things for us. Lord, we pray that it is your power that enables us to do things in your name. And it is the same power that has performed miracles since before time. And we'll continue to go forward. And Lord, we pray that everything we do doesn't give glory to ourselves. Instead, it helps give glory to you. In your name we pray. Amen.